الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إلا من تاب وآمن وعمل عملا صالحا فأولئك يبدل الله سيئاتهم حسنات وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وما تقرب إلي عبدي بشيء أحب إلي مما افترضت عليه أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Ulama, elders, brothers, young ones in Islam, since before starting our talk, just one adab and etiquette. Hazrat Mullah Abdul Hamid Sahib, our Sheikh, is not too well. So the etiquette is that, mashallah, many of us have come after long meeting Hazrat, so everyone wants to make musafa, to shake hands with him. But we must always keep in mind, don't cause taklif and difficulty to our elders. So one is my musafa, I make musafa, it's musta'ab action, and one is the difficulty we're putting another person through. So always keep that in mind. We have the talab and desire in our hearts, inshallah we'll get the full reward. Allah will give us the benefit and barakat of the musafa we'll get of the person. We had the desire within ourselves. But don't cause harm. To make musafa is sunnah, is mustahab, and to cause harm to somebody is haram. So you're earning 50 and you're losing 1,000. So that's the sign of foolishness. So Allah give us tawfiq, this adab and etiquette we learn from our elders, that we should not cause taklif and difficulty to any person. Anyhow, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us in this world to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah created us, He sustains us, He's looking after us. And the whole object of this, our life, is to worship Allah, to become the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should have an intention in our life. My object of life is to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Mawlana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib rahmatullah alayhi used to say, if a person makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, oh Allah, I want jannat, I want things of this world. He said, you will get that. But he never asked Allah for the greatest thing in the world, which was the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So really he lost out on the day of Qiyamah when Allah will be handing out whatever a person wanted in this world. And he never asked Allah for the love of Allah, which was the greatest thing. A person will feel like kicking himself. So Allah give us tawfiq, you always make dua to Allah ta'ala for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But now to reach the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are certain things we have to look into our life, all of us. Sometimes you want to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but there's some blockage. It's not allowing us to go forward in life. And many people say, I don't know what's happening. I'm trying my hardest. I can't wake up for Fajr Salat. I'm trying to do this action. My business is not coming right. I'm having these problems in life. But we are not looking back in our life that maybe we have wronged somebody in life. We have done something wrong to somebody. We have not fulfilled the rights of somebody. So when a person makes tawbah, so it's easy. We lift up our hands. Ya Allah, forgive me. So Allah will forgive a person. But there are certain rights and responsibilities and duties a person has to fulfill. Example, you owe a person R1 million, and now you're supposed to pay him after 1 month. Now 1 year, you're not talking about it. Now after 1 year, you go, you ask him, hey, please make me maaf. I'm sorry, I'm paying you too late. So the person says, I make you maaf, but I want my R1 million still. Doesn't mean I made you maaf for delaying. So like maybe we haven't performed salat for so many years. So we ask Allah for forgiveness, Allah will forgive us. But it doesn't mean our salat has fallen off now. We have to perform our salat. So sometimes in life we have got this blockage. I'm not going forward in life. Because maybe we've got so many qada salats. MashaAllah, there are many people who change their life. They go in jamaat. Then they start reading tahajjud namaz, ikraq namaz. Start keeping the Ramadan rozas. Mondays and Thursdays. The fast of shawal. But you ask the person, MashaAllah, before you came in tabligh, before you came to the khanka, have you got any qada namazes? He said, I make dua. I've got 20 years of qada namazes. 15 years of qada namazes. You're not talking about that. So Hazrat gives a beautiful example. One person, you owe him 100,000. But now you're not talking about that. Every time he comes, his children come, you give them one lollipop, you give them one chocolate, and you say, me, I got good akhlaq. I always give his children so many nice things. And every time when he looks at me, he looks at me with a heavy eye. And he's getting upset with me. I don't know what's wrong with this man. What good akhlaq I'm showing him. But you're not talking about 100,000 you owe him. So we owe Allah Ta'ala so many faraz namazes. But you're not talking about that. You say, I'm reading Nafal Namaz, I'm reading Tahajjud Namaz, I'm reading Ishraq and Awabin. Nabi alayhi salam said, a servant cannot come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with anything more beloved to me, where Allah ta'ala says, than which I have made faraz upon him. So the first and most important thing in our life is to correct our faraz. So there are different faraz. One is the faraz of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one is the faraz of human beings. So the faraz of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our faraz namazes. Let us look into our life. Well, let's mention a few incidents. One wealthy person went to Mufti Ibrahim Saraji Sahib, down for a khatum for his Islah. So Maulana asked him, what's the reason for coming? For yourself, he said, the reason for coming is your self-reformation. So think that today is your final day in life. What level of preparation have you made now? So the man said, oh, Hazrat, I want to settle all my deeds, by the rights of Allah Ta'ala, the rights of people. I want to go directly into Jannah. So Mufti Sahib said, okay, think. I'm giving you 1 week. Think about the obligation which Allah has got upon you. Any injustice you have done, any theft, wrong things you have done. And then work out your qaza salat from the time you became baligh till now. And come and see me after a while. So anyhow, after 1 year he returned to Mufti Sahib. He said, Mufti Sahib, alhamdulillah, I completed all my salahs. I worked out all of it. Sometimes I used to read up to 60 salahs in 1 day. But alhamdulillah, I managed to finish all of my issues. I sorted all my matters out. Then Mufti Sahib said, how do you feel now? He said, in the first week I was feeling a bit uncomfortable, uneasy. But he said, now, after I finished, after that initial moment, the amount of happiness I got is like I'm in Doha, I'm in Jannah. And no amount of wealth can give me that amount of happiness. Mufti Sahib said, now you've corrected your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Allah will grant you with His mercy. So a lot of times in life, really we need to look into ourselves. So one lady, she wrote an article also, that how she came into deen to a certain extent. She started performing salat. And then one day she heard she has to cover up her past namazes. And she worked out it was 10 years of salat. So she thought, how am I going to do 10 years of salat? So she had one bayan where they mentioned that with every qaza namaz, with every faraz namaz, make one qaza. So in 1 day, at least you're making 1 day's qaza namazes. And then, inshallah, as you progress, so this woman made intention, Allah, give me life for 10 years at least. So I got 10 years of qaza namazes. She said, alhamdulillah, Allah gave me istiqamah. And through the barakat and blessings of this, many changes came in my life. I came into parda. I started learning so much of deen. And I look at it, it was the barakat and blessings of this qaza namazes which I started covering up with. So very, very important is our qaza namazes. Once many years ago, quite young still, maybe I was 17, 18 years old. So I went in Jamaat, 10-day Jamaat. So at that time there was a jor in Lodium. It was a youngsters jor, like how we have a youngsters program. The first time I remember having a program, especially for the youth, was a whole like, ishtima. And it was the last time also I remember I had it. But anyhow, Allah gave me the tawfiq, I went for that program. So the person, I was sitting next to one brother, and he's an old brother. Brother in Jamaat, I saw him in the ishtima in the front stuff, and half of his body was paralyzed. So while I was sitting with him, he was telling me his life story. And he said, you know, me, I was very far from deen. Then Allah gave me, I met in an accident. And because of that, half my body became paralyzed. And he said, alhamdulillah, through the barakat of that, I decided to change my life. So he said, I lost all my business and everything. But he said, alhamdulillah, whatever duties I had, 30 years of qaza namazes, in this condition I fulfilled. 30 years of qaza namazes, in this condition. He said, alhamdulillah, I finished all my qazas. I think I did my hajj. I gave all my zakat for all my previous years. And I corrected my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyhow, we reached the istima. The program took place. So it was a 2-day program or whatever. And now we are going back. So I was sitting next to me in a bus. So we reached the bus. And he sat down next to me. And then he asked me, what's the time? So I told him, it's now 10 o'clock, whatever. He said, you mean it's charge time? So he said, gee, I said, but the bus might have about 25 to 10 or 10 to 10. I said, the bus is leaving now. He said, no, but I can't miss my charge salat. Now, I never knew the masala that time. You can sit in the bus and read your charge namaz. You don't have to face Qibla direction also. It's a nafal namaz. And you're traveling out of town. You can, it's sunnah that it's permissible to read. But anyhow, he said, I have to read my charge namaz. So he walked off the bus. Now he's walking, he's half paralyzed. He's walking with one side of the body with his stick and he's walking slowly, slowly. He got off the bus. And he's walking to the masjid. I'm thinking now he'll take him how long before he reaches the masjid. He'll read Ishraq namaz, charge namaz and come back. I think uncle is going to leave you. He said, no, but I can't miss my charge salat. Anyhow, he got off the bus and I started going. 10 o'clock, the bus driver came and he's trying to start the bus and the bus is not starting. So they called some other bus drivers, they came, they putting the jack and they're working, they're trying to jumpstart the bus. And they're trying whatever. And I'm thinking, ya Allah, that the bus is waiting for the old man. And after half an hour, slowly he's coming back. And they start struggling. And by he just put his first step on the bus and the thing started. So now I was thinking, this man, he corrected his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 30 years of qaza namazes, he covered up the 30 years of qaza namazes. What is Allah meaning sahib-e-karamat? So may Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. This qaza namaz is extremely important. We've come for the Islahi Jalsa, so these are things we have to think about. That my rights to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My namaz is so important. So many persons will start off with the Ishraq and Awabin and that, but my first namaz is not done. Recently I met one person or so. He's like studying in a madrasa, so I took it for granted he's in for final year. So then I asked him, you got qaza namaz? So he said, you got qaza namaz. So I was surprised. He said, the person like so many years in a madrasa, but he never thought about it. That I have to make my qaza namaz. So many of us, we might be in the khanka for so long also, we might be in tabligh also for so long, but we forget about the past. So we can't progress further without sorting out our matters for the past. Allah said, illa man taba. You make tawbah. Wa amana, you got iman, wa amila amalan salihan, you do good actions. But the tawbah, the completion of it is to do cover up. فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيَّاتِمْ حَسَنَاتِ Allah will change all of the evil qualities into good qualities. But the condition is a proper tawbah has to be done. So this is one thing. These are the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then let us think of the rights of fellow human beings. Sometimes if you don't fulfill the rights of people in this world, you'll have to pay for it on the day of Qiyamah. And that will be very dangerous. The hadith was mentioned before this. When Muhammad mentioned this hadith, the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, do you know who is a muflis, who is a bankrupt person? So they said, O Nabi of Allah, the bankrupt person amongst us is a person who's got no dirhams, no mata'a, no sama, no goods. Nabi alayhi salam said, no. The bankrupt person from my ummah will be the person who will come on the day of Qiyamah. He had salat, he had fasting, he had zakat. But he came, he was swearing somebody, he was accusing somebody, eating the wealth of somebody, shedding the blood of somebody, hitting somebody. So Allah Ta'ala will say, okay, you take this good actions of his, this good actions of his. All of his good actions will come to an end, and he still got rights of other people. Then Allah Ta'ala will take the gunas and sins of those people and push it onto him. And then finally he'll be thrown in the fire of Jahannam. Shows the importance of the rights of people, how much we have to fulfill it. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, I heard Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam saying, that you got a worker in the house, and you accuse your worker of zina, you put tuhmat, a false accusation, or you stole from a house, and that person is free from what he said. Now in the Islamic judge, if you go to a court, they won't punish you for doing something wrong to your slave, because it's obviously it's a slave. So he's like, the master got a certain right over the slave. But that's in this world. But in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you won't be free. So Nabi alayhi salam said, on the day of Qiyamah, you're in this world, normally you accuse somebody of zina, for example, you'll get 80 lashes. And if you accuse a slave, you'll get 40 lashes. But if it's your own slave, sometimes the penalty falls off. You don't get that punishment. But on the day of Qiyamah, the lashes will be given to you. Because you accuse that person. Nabi alayhi salam said, Julida yawm al-qiyamah illa yakuna kama qal. He'll be lashed on the day of Qiyamah unless it was exactly as the person had said. A person came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and said, oh Nabi of Allah, I got two workers. They sometimes cheat me, they deceive me, they disobey me, they swear me, and they belie me, they speak lies to me, whatever. So me, I get angry with them. I keep them hiding sometimes. I swear them. So what is my relationship with them? What will happen to me? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah is very fair. How much they cheated you, how much they disobeyed you, how much they belied you, it will be taken on one side. And how much you punish them will be taken. If your punishment and whatever wrong they had done was equal, then there will be no benefit for you or no harm to you. But on the other hand, if your punishment was more than what they had done wrong to you, if your punishment was less than what wrong they had done to you, that will be extra for you. Allah will give you certain rewards. But on the other hand, if what you had done upon them was worse, was much more to them, then uktusta minhum, the punishment will be taken from you, revenge will be taken. It's not that you are completely free. So the man, he went on the side, he started crying, and he was shouting. And then Nabi alayhi salam said, haven't you read the ayat of the Quran, وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْتَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ On the day of Qiyamah, we're going to put fair just scales. فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا No one will be oppressed on the day of Qiyamah. وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِنْ خَرْدَلٍ أَتَيْنَا بِهَا One atom's weight of good a person had done or evil, it will be brought on the day of Qiyamah. So the man said, O Nabi of Allah, you know what, I can't find that anything better than I rather separate from these people, I rather free them for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because I cannot fulfill their haqq and their rights. I make you witness, O Nabi of Allah, I freed all of my slaves. So subhanAllah, the fear which he had within himself. So all of us also have to look into our lives, like backbiting. How much we backbite? Every, as the Shaykh rahmatullah says, every gathering of ours is full of backbiting. And he writes in Al-Atidal, that the worst backbiting we can do is of the ulama. He said, it comes on staying there, that the flesh of the ulama is masmumun, it's extremely poisonous. So today, how much, one time example, or so much of disrespect we show to a person. Disrespect to ulama. If our alim is doing wrong, then our kabir used to mention to us that we still don't show disrespect to him. Some people, let's call alim anyhow, by any name, or they mock his name, or they change his name. If a person is doing wrong, we can correct the person. But to disrespect that person, sometimes our akhirat can be destroyed. A person can leave the world without iman because of disrespect which he shows to an alim of deen. Hazrat Tani Rahmatullah Ali, one day one of his murids, he took Mawlana Raza Ahmad Khan Tab, who was the leader of the Barelvis, he wrote heavy against the ulama of Jehovah and many things, and he was involved in bid'at or whatever. So one person said, Rira Ahmad. Hazrat Tani Rahmatullah Ali got angry with him. He said, he's a man of ilm. How dare you speak to him with disrespect? You must call him Maulvi. I also call him. Hazrat Tani said, I also call him Maulvi, Mawlana. He's got knowledge. We don't agree with him in certain matters, but you still have respect for him. So this is one thing, respect. Hence, we don't backbite. If there is a matter to be solved out, there is something needs, it can be done in the correct way, in the correct channels. But be very careful about disrespect. This is one important thing. So a lot of times we show disrespect, and the only way sometimes we will be able to correct ourselves is we have to go to that person and ask him for maafi. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala makes it such. If the person doesn't know about it, we can ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. But this is one thing we have to look into our lives, how much of backbiting we've got in our lives. At least the bare minimum, we can start making tawbah. You should do that as dua, Allahumma ighfir lana dhunubana wa takaffal bi ridha khusumina. Oh Allah Ta'ala, forgive our sins, and you take responsibility to please that our khusum, the people who are against us, who got the case against us, they must be happy with us. Or bi irdha'i khusumina. Oh Allah, you take responsibility to please those people who are against us, who got the case against us. There's one dua of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that, oh Allah, comes in munazat maqbool, I've taken a pact with you. فَأَيُّمَا مُؤْمِنٍ عَذِيْتُهُ وَشَدَّمْتُهُ وَجَلَدْتُهُ. Any believer, I saw him, I spoke bad to him, I hit him, whatever. Wallah, you give him sawabs, you grant him salat and zakat, تُقَدْرِبُوا بِهَا إِلَيْكَ, by which he can become closer to you. So at least we can read the du'as. We don't know how many people's rights have come over against us. At least we read the du'as. And wherever we can, if we made ghibat of somebody, we backbited about somebody in open, in public, then you have to go in public also and ask, tell those people that what I said was wrong. And if that person comes to know about it, we have to go ask him for forgiveness also. If he doesn't know, you ask Allah for forgiveness, and we send Isal al-Sawab for him. And on the day of Qiyamah, it mustn't happen. All our good deeds are taken and put on that person who we hated, and he's taking all our good deeds away. So we have to be really careful regarding backbiting. Then regarding oppression, very, very careful regarding oppression, zulm. Once one of our ustaz, he explained to us one incident in India. There was one person, and he was locked up in jail. And it wasn't a very big thing he was locked up in jail for. And the people were surprised. Like, he got a heavy sentence and he got locked up in jail. So anyhow, for about 10 years he was locked up in jail. And after 10 years, he's supposed to come out. But after 10 years, he's not coming out. Some papers are not right. This is happening. That is happening. And every time he's delaying and delaying. Another year went. Another year went. 2 years. Even the government, from the government, they send a message to the department. What's wrong? Why is this person not getting freed? His time is up. But whatever is happening, he's just getting delayed and delayed. So now maybe about 12, 13 years had passed. So the son of this man, he said, you know, his father was married first to another lady, and he divorced that lady. And then he got married to his mother. So he went to his stepmother, his father's first wife. And he told his stepmother, Allah put it in his heart, that, you know, my stepmother, that my father is in jail for so long. Maybe he oppressed you, he did something wrong to you in life. And can you please make him half for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Forgive him. So anyhow, she teared for a while. And then she thought about it and she said, I'll make him half for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same week he got out of prison. So a lot of times in life, we oppress somebody, we do somebody, our wives. How many women, they ulama know, letters come always. My husband is a learned man. And he's just, but the way he treats me at home, and the way he beats me up, the way he abuses me, verbally abuses me. And every time I tell him something, he says, I'm taking a second wife. I can't even look after one wife properly. He's already talking about second wife. And he's just saying that it's just to hurt my feelings. So he just wants to attack me. And he finishes me up instead. But you see, but my husband, and he got enough time for all the people of the world. The way he speaks to the people outside, he's making this effort of deen, this khidmat of deen. But he's got no time at home for myself, for the children. See how hurt we are. He's got like no feelings for us. But everyone else in the world, he's got feelings for, he's got worry for. Whereas the first, Mawlana spoke also before, Zuhar Namaz, about akhlaq and character. What is that? So oppression. May Allah protect and save us. Sometimes we oppress our wives, person has got a girlfriend. He's making zina with her on that side, and then he's coming home. And then he's having relations with that wife. Pure woman, and he's going and doing haram on the other side. What a form of oppression we are doing to our women folk. So therefore, a person must be careful of the oppression. اتَّقِ دَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ بَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٍ. Beware the curse of the oppressed person, because between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no hijab, there is no veil. And some narrations come, even though وَلَوْ كَانَ كَافِرًا, even if it's a kafir and disbeliever, beware of the curse of that person. Don't think it's my worker, I can see the person. Our Hazrat mentioned to us, he said that you got a worker working for you. He's working for you. You're paying him money. You got his time, whatever. But his izzat and honor, you got no right to attack him and speak how you want to with him. One day one person was complaining, say, I'm working for one Muslim person, one family, and at the end of the month, so during the month they gave me one heater, it was broken, they said, yeah, take this, it's the heater, it's broken, you must sort it out, fix it up. At the end of the month I get a less salary than my normal. So I said, how come? She said, no, we give you that heater, that cover up for this extra. So that person was so hurt. One person one day came to me to my house to complain. He said, I'm working for this Muslim person, and I went to the house to collect my wages at the end of the day, and they say, no, come tomorrow. I went the next day, they say, come after 1-2 days, I haven't got money in the house. You got the worker to work, that man is working day to day, he's living hand to mouth, and now you oppress the poor man. So really be careful regarding these things. Allah protect and save us. And oppression, sometimes we don't know, and how much of our life is affected. There was one person I remember many years ago, he was living in a certain area, and his wife, one day he had a fight with his wife. So that's also the harm of not having, he had a fight with his wife. So his wife told him, you see, this last child is not your child. This last child is not your child. It's your brother's child. So anyhow, this person was like finished. He divorced his wife. And he got married somewhere else. And then his wife eventually got married to the brother. So, and then after he also, but the one is like the parda. We don't have parda in our home. It's brother-in-law and sister-in-law. As a poor sister, I say, jisko batija samjha, jisko beta samjha, wo batija nikla. The bare parda ki kiya bura asar hai. The bad effect of not making parda in the homes is that jisko batija samjha, jisko beta samjha, wo batija nikla. You thought it's my son, he became your nephew actually. It's not your son, it's your brother's son. So Allah has given us the second command, parda in our homes, etc. For a certain reason. But anyhow, I always wondered that this person was a very pious person, always doing the effort of deen, etc. Like, what was the reason for this? And then eventually I found out that he showed disrespect once to his ustad. So sometimes Allah Ta'ala hits a person back in life. It was his ustad and his children's ustad. And he showed disrespect to them. And that it doesn't come immediately. But somehow later in life, that thing hits back to a person. So we have to be very, very careful. The oppression we do, some wrong we do to a person. May Allah give me all of us tawfiq. And we need the help and guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these matters. So this is one that we don't ever oppress a person. There's a famous story of Habib Ajmi. He was a very great buzrug later on in life. But in the beginning, he was a money lender. Everything on interest, he used to take money from people. Daily routine was, he'll go to the visit the debtors and take out payment. One day he went out, he went to one person's house. He said, my husband has got at home. I got no money to give you. He said, what food you got in the house? Only some meat I got. He said, I want that meat. He took the meat, he took it to his wife. His wife said, there's no firewood, no flour in the house. He said, no, don't worry, I'll get it as interest. He went to the houses, he extorted from the people, he brought it back home. His wife prepared the food. One beggar came to the house asking for some food. Habib said, I got nothing, go from here. The beggar left, he was very hurt. When she opened the food to see in the pot, she found the pot is full of blood. She told her husband, my husband, come and see this. This is the consequences of your evil. He got a shock. His heart opened up. He told his wife, be witness. I make tawbah from all my evil actions. And now the following day, he went out of the house with the intention of making maaf all the money which were owed to him. A group of children were playing there. And he's speaking among themselves. He said, be careful. Here comes Habib, the devourer of interest. Be careful. Don't let the dust under his feet contaminate you. You will all become miserable and unfortunate like him. Anyhow, he felt very bad. He went to the Hasan Basri, rahmatullahi, and he sat in his bayan, and he was very affected, and he made tawbah, and he changed his life, and now he decided to lead a life of piety. On the way, coming back home, he saw one of the debtors running away. So the Habib said, don't run away from me now. Now I have to run away from you. Anyhow, while he's walking home, he came across the same boys. And they spoke among themselves. Say, give way, give way. Habib has come back now. Allah, he has repented to Allah. Let not our dirt fall on him. Otherwise, Allah will write us as transgressors. Allah put it in the heart of those people. Habib Ajmi said, oh Allah, today only I made Tawbah, and already you have honored my name. And when a person makes Tawbah, after his reformation, all the debts which people owed him, or zulm which he had done upon him, he made everyone maaf. And all of his wealth he gave in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he had no money left, a person came and said, I want the kurta you are wearing, he gave it to him also. The shawl his wife had, gave it to him also. And in this way he became a great, great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He tried to fulfill all of the debts which people had. Allah give us tawfiq also. Create within ourselves that we don't deceive people, we don't cheat people. There's a story of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, once he was sitting with some people. And they said, we were going for Hajj. We came to one place, and one of our companions passed away. So we dug a grave for him, but we found a very big snake there. So we went to another place, we dug a hole, we found a snake there. Went to a third place, we found a snake there. So Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, this is because of the evil actions that men have done. See, the whole world you can carry on digging, you'll find the snake will be there inside. Just bury him in that. So anyhow, they said, we went and buried him. When we returned home, went to his wife, and we asked her, what's wrong your husband used to do? So she said, he used to cheat in his business. We used to sell wheat. So some of the wheat he would take out, example, is 1 kilo. He'll take out like 200 grams, 100 grams, and he'll come and give it to us to eat. And then he'll take sticks and he'll put it inside there. So it's still 1 kilo, and then he will sell it like this. So in this way, he will deceive people. So this was the effect of it. So as I'm mentioning, we are deceiving people. One person said, I wasn't getting my salat right. So, I'm not coming right in life. The person asked him, like, what have you done before? So he said, no, before, you know, I was working for a certain boss, and I was cheating. I stole a lot of money from him, like, some amount of money I stole from him. So the person said, why don't you correct your dealing with him? Go ask him for maaf at least. He's such a rich man, it don't make a difference to his life. He said, it doesn't matter, he's a rich man, it's his money. It's not your money, it's his money, you stole from him. So you can sort out your matter with him. As soon as he went to that person, he asked him for maaf, whatever, he sort out the matter, immediately there was a change in his life. So as I'm mentioning, sometimes we've got a blockage. We don't know why it's a blockage. It's because our dealing is not right with somebody. Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. Another important point regarding this is our loans. Many of us have got loans. We owe people money. And when a person asks you for money, you say, I'm a Muslim. You think I'm going to steal your money. Like, you make that person, he's coming to ask for his money. He's got a right. But the way you make him feel like he stole, like he owes you money. You owe him, it's the other way around. And so many people, so... they're rich. Nabi alayhi salam said, "Matarul ghani zulmun." The delaying of a rich person is zulm and oppression. You got money, Allah has given you. You're going for holiday, you're going for umrah, you're going to these places, but you're not paying the person. There was one person in Azadwal, he told me this incident himself. He was working in a shop here, we had a shop here, Ahlan Masalan, and there's a Muslim shop, they only sell kurtas and cloaks. And he told me that how many people, I think the shop closed down because of the people, how much they owed money and they're not paying the money. And he said, all the people who come, they're all dinar people outwardly. They'll come, they'll take something on loan, they won't pay you for 5 years, 4 years, you phone them every time. The way they'll make you feel like you're doing something wrong by phoning them. He said, I'm not running away with your money, I'm not going to steal your money. They make your life miserable. And you got the people got the money. Then he said, sometimes the person will come to you after 5 years to pay the money, he'll give you the money, he said, I'm going for Hajj now. Now he's going for Hajj, now he's paying back the money. So that's the time of person. So really, my dear brothers, you must think about it. Don't have debt. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, I take a qasam by Allah, that the person who is in debt will not enter Jannah, even if he is martyred. He's resurrected and martyred again. Resurrected again and martyred. He won't enter Jannah until his debt is paid. One hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Sahaba was sitting with him. The janazah was brought to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi alayhi salam said, does your companion have any debt? Sahaba said, yes. He said, what benefit will you derive if I perform salat on that man whose soul is detained in the grave, and his soul cannot rise to the heavens? What benefit will the namaz of Nabi alayhi salam be for that man? Then Nabi alayhi salam said, someone takes responsibility for his death, I'll perform salat. Then my salat will benefit him. Otherwise, I'm not performing salat for him. Nabi alayhi salam, in the beginning, initial stages, would not perform janazah namaz of any person who owed death to people. Once Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kufri wa dain. Oh Allah, I seek the protection, your protection from kufr and dain. Kufr, disbelief and death. Sahabi said, oh Nabi of Allah, you're putting kufr and death on the same line next to one another. Nabi alayhi salatu, are you equating them together? Nabi salam said, yes, I'm equating them together. I'm putting them together. One hadith, Nabi alayhi salam said, a person who marries a woman who had mehr, where there's a small amount or a large amount, and he's got this intention, I will not pay the mehr, and he passes away on the day of Qiyamah, he'll be resurrected as an adulterer in the court of Allah. And a person who takes a loan with somebody else with no intention of paying it back, and he passes away without fulfilling it, he will rise as a thief in the presence of Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. Yes, if a person is a real need, he took a loan, as far as possible, try not to take loans. But if a person had to take, and he had an intention to pay back, and he's trying his utmost, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi alayhi salam, said, Allah will fulfill the debt of a person who takes on credit with the intention of fulfilling his debt. And Allah will destroy the person who takes on credit with the intention of not paying it and cheating people. So if a person now tries his utmost to pay off his debt, then Allah's special help and assistance will come on that person. I remember one person, there was a very wealthy person, but once he was getting one container coming from another country, and anyhow it was confiscated. So all the money they lost there, and he owed many, many people money because of that loss. But alhamdulillah, that person, for many years he continued working. He didn't go for Umrah, he didn't go for Hajj. But I have to pay all the people who I owe, I pay them back, until it is not sorted out. And Hazrat once mentioned to us, you see, this is a sure way of getting rich. Because when a person wants to pay off, Allah will help and assist that person. And after the person has paid off, then Allah won't stop helping him. The money will continue coming. So he helped and he made sure he paid off whatever he had. Then Allah will continue sending the money for him. He'll become rich eventually. But then the person must have that intention of paying. So that's also, we should have this. Fudayl ibn Iyad, rahmatullah alayhi, in our silsila of the tawaf, a great buzruk comes in our silsila to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So he also before, he was far from deen, and then eventually he changed his life. Once he washed the lamb 2 times in wudu instead of 3 times. He saw Nabi alayhi salam in a dream. Nabi salatu wasalam said, "Oh Fudayl, I don't expect you to miss out any sunnah in wudu." He felt so like hurt, I miss out the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salam. He stood up, 500 rakats daily of namaz he imposed upon himself for 1 year. To make tawbah for missing out one sunnah of Nabi alayhi salam. So these are great buzruks and awliya Allah. We miss out so many sunnahs in our life. But before he changed his life, he was the leader of a band of highway robbers. So all crooks they were. But even though he was a crook, he was very particular performing namaz with jamaat, nafal roza, and nafal salat. And nafal roza also. So one day, even one person came that he had stolen from that person seemed singing, performing salat there. And then he offered him some food, he said, "I'm keeping roza." The person was shocked. "You're a crook, you stole my money, but you were keeping performing salat and there." So anyhow, but Allah Ta'ala eventually changed him. Once he was going past someone, this person said, "Alam ya'ni lil ladina amanu an takhsha qulubuhum li dhikrillah." Isn't the time come now? But now you're supposed to change your life. Your heart's supposed to become soft for the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it affected his heart. He started crying and said, "Yes, the time has come." So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes for something to happen, Allah creates the conditions for it. So he, from the time he started stealing, he had an amazing thing. He would keep a proper account of the details of who he stole from. So now he knew the person's name and how much he stole from that person. Allah made it such. So now when he made tawbah and he wanted to change his life, he went to every single person, he asked that person for maaf. If the person that wasn't prepared to forgive him, he paid the person, he managed to get the money from somewhere and he paid the person, he worked for that person until he paid the person back. He went to one Jewish person. This Jewish person refused to forgive him. And he said, "That bag you stole from me was full of gold." It wasn't gold also, but he said it was full of gold. So Fuzail continued begging him and took a custom, "I never took gold from you." But he was adamant. Then the Jew said, "Okay, look, I'm feeling sorry for you. I've taken an oath. I won't forgive you as long as you don't give me a bag full of gold. So I want you to go into my house. There's one bag there. And there's some gold in there. You bring that gold to me. So you've given it to me now. Then I'll forgive you. In my own gold, my own wealth." So Fuzail ibn Iyad rahmatullahi went in the house and he brought the bag to the Jew. When the Jew opened the bag, it was full of gold. The Jew said, "I am convinced of your tawbah. It is sincere your tawbah. Because this bag only had stones inside. It had pebbles. And I read in the Torah that if a person sincerely repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even sand will turn into gold in his hands. So that is why I know your tawbah is sincere." So he eventually accepted Islam. The Jewish person. So Allah gave us tawfiq. So he also, he looked at his life and how he made the change and he started paying off all of those people. So in life, if we also have done somebody down, we've robbed somebody, cheated somebody, Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah, we try to make amends for that day. And this is the only way we can start progressing in life. You think about the zulam, oppression we committed to somebody, we caused harm to somebody, the money we've taken from somebody. And one important matter in this year is regarding inheritance. Regarding inheritance, ya Allah, the ummah, there's so much of negligence regarding this. In South Africa, I don't know, but somebody was telling me about India. He said, in India, it's so common, when a girl gets married and they give her jahez, the father gives a lot of money or whatever. So now her name is cut off from the inheritance. So when her father passes away, she knows definitely I'm not getting. She don't even ask for it. You won't even ask for the inheritance. So they don't worry about it. But now you have actually stolen the right of that person. So now a lot of times we say, somebody comes to our shop, they steal money, we get so angry, this person stole, doesn't know it's haram. But exactly that, how that is haram, that person has stolen from you, with a gun to put it to your head. When we are stealing money from our sister, we are not giving her a share of inheritance. We are doing exactly the same thing, only there is no gun there. But we have stolen that money. There's no barakat and blessings in that money. Then later on in life, you've got problems. We say, I don't know why this problem is coming in my life. That problem is happening in my life. But you stole somebody else's haqq, somebody else's right. It can't be barakah and blessings in that. So really, we all have to look into our lives. Even if we have to go over back and think about it. And how can we sort out our matters? These are important matters because we can't progress without these matters being corrected. So that one person was telling me, he said, he knows of an alim, a senior alim in our country. And this person, he said, I'm definitely giving my sister her share of her money. And the other family members were very upset with him. The one brother is also an alim. He refused to speak to him for a couple of years. Because he gave it to he gave all of his sisters the inheritance share. There's so much of ignorance in Afghanistan. One person was telling me when he went, some family members he's got in Afghanistan. He said, and the family is like a family of ulama and pious people. So the grandfather, he knew his sons will never give the daughter's money. So he made in his life, he said, I'm giving all my shares, everything out. The son stood up and he said, never ever, I'll never allow you to do this here. The woman, how can they ever get anything? The things of jahiliyat, you still find it in today's times. So may Allah give us tawfiq in our families also we look and we all ponder and think about these things, loans, our inheritance. Let us sort out all our matters. We can go on the day of Qiyamah, whatever nafal actions, we could all be taken away and given to other people and a person will be deprived. So I'll just end off with this one incident of Hazrat Amir Rahmatullah Ali. One student went to him and asked him one question. He said, Hazrat, my father had two wives, but he never paid the dowry, the mehr to them. Alhamdulillah, in South Africa, they got a good habit. They had the mehr given on the first day. But in India, they got this mehr, mu'ajjal, we'll pay you later on. And then before the wife dies, they ask her, you make me maaf. Or before he dies, he's passing away, they ask, you make me maaf. She said, I make you maaf. Obviously, which wife is in the same lot, I'm going to make you maaf. And he said, it's made maaf now. So this person said, Hazrat, my father had two wives, he never paid them. It was actually regarded as bad for a woman to ask for dowry. So he asked, is it compulsory for me to pay dowry from my deceased estate? So Hazrat Amir Rahmatullah Ali thought about it. He said, you know what? What about my own situation? My father passed away, he had four wives, one after the other. And did he pay the dowry whether his wives made him pass? Oh, we never paid it from the estate. So he made shukriya to that student, that the student reminded him and made him think about the masala. Imagine. The student asked him about himself, but Hazrat started thinking about himself. So then Hazrat said, that, yeah, I need to pay this thing. So he sent a question to many ulama, asking them, like, because Hazrat felt it not right, I can't make amal on my own fatwa. He was a great mufti of the time, but I can't make amal on my own fatwa for myself. So he sent a question to many, many muftis to ask them the question. And the people gave him different answers because of the urf. There was different conditions. But Hazrat Amir Rahmatullah Ali decided, some said he must pay, some said he mustn't pay. He said, I'd rather make ihtiyat and precaution, I'd rather pay this amount. So now, his father passed away, there was four wives, and that money now came to him. So now all of their wives, all of their family members had to get the money. Now, it's not his mother, it's like his stepmother's. But now, some of them have gone to different countries. So he said it took him 2 years to find out. We all the different people who were, it wasn't in the time of cell phone also. And then he sent prepaid letters, he made inquiries about their relatives, about their names, their addresses. He even sent an alim to certain places to find out who the heirs were. And then he allotted the shares, as how it comes in the kitabs. Each person will get so much, so much, so much. Very long time. And Hazrat Amir Rahmatullah, it wasn't his habit to take anything for free. So now he would pay that person. They say at that time it was 15 rupees, it was a very big amount. And he paid the persons to go to this place, that place, find out. And until eventually everything was sorted out. And then some people had to receive one anna, one pesa, small amount of money. But Hazrat would send the person, go and give them that money, they're right. And some people would feel a bit shy, like only one. You give me 50 rand, 100 rand. Hazrat say, please, I will be most grateful if you help me to fulfill this duty, this juice which I'm supposed to. So eventually people accepted very happily. And Hazrat Amir Rahman said, no matter how much money it is, I'll make sure I pay all of this money, even if my whole life goes in fulfilling it. See, Hazrat Amir Rahmatullah, they pay over 1,000 rupees. In that time, it was a very big amount of money. But after 2 years or whatever, he managed to pay off all of this amount. And Hazrat said, although it was a very difficult affair, Allah Ta'ala steered me in such a way, I was able to pay off everything without any real stress. So our kawir, how much of effort they made to fulfill the duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah give myself and all of us tawfiq and ability that we become careful in regarding these matters. We owe people money. We have taken the rights of people. Let us at least start pondering about it. Many times the brother will say, you know, I'm not going far in life. I can't come right in life. But as I mentioned, think. Maybe we are oppressing somebody. We are causing harm to somebody, especially when it comes to our wives or family members, or maybe my brother, my sister, or I'm taking the money of that person, I'm cheating that person, deceiving that person. Each person has to look into his own life. Once we correct our connection with the makhluk, and it'll be easy for us to correct our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then in the beginning also we spoke about qadha namazes. Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. We have prepared some kitabs for qadha. If a person goes to the istiqbal, inshallah, the jama'ah there, they've got these kitabs for qadha. A person can tick off exactly all the masail of qadha also I mentioned there. So any brother, inshallah, want a free copy, they can take it from the istiqbal. And inshallah, Allah give us this Islah Jalsa as a means of our Islah and reformation. At least we can bring these things right and correct ourselves in these matters, inshallah. Allah will open up many, many ways for a person. Allah grant myself and all of us. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.